Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Shooter's ready. Stand by.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm Frank Gao, joined by my co-host, Matt Gunlock. Today, our guest is Jim Steele. He is currently a member of the Marine Corps shooting team on the pistol team, primarily shoots carry optics, and he's starting to dabble a little bit in limited. And most recently, he match bumped to Masterclass in USPSA off the back of a really strong performance at Area 8. A little bit of background, this last summer, I traveled a lot with the team. I guess you could say there's always at least one like major that just hangs out with the pistol team. But in my capacity also as like kind of the Asian dad, the only thing I want to say to you, Jim, is when are you going to make Grandmaster?
I don't know. We'll see.
I think
hopefully
you're well
soon.
Yeah, I think you're well on your way. But yeah, give us a little bit of a introduction, you know, hometown, where you've been in the Marine Corps. And yeah, we'll go from there.
Before he starts what you have to do to get Grandmaster, Jim, is you have to make a bowl of rice just for Frank.
We're gonna do a Mr. Miyagi training montage, and then that will culminate in you getting your GM.
Wow, that would be spectacular. I mean, especially from the movies. But anyways, I'm from Michigan, Lower Peninsula, unfortunately. I was in 3-6 for a while. I did 4 years there. Then I went to Security Forces, which is the new pipeline for the shooting team, apparently. And that was really fun. I got to be an instructor with Close Quarters Battle. And then after that, I went straight to the shooting team. So the Marine Corps has been actually really nice for me.
So I kind of got to ask you, you said you're from Michigan. Are you a Detroit Red Wings fan?
Yes. Original six.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry.
It is what it is. I mean, some people like the Cleveland Browns for the NFL. So,
well, I gotta ask this then: like, are you a Mike Madonna fan, or is that too before your time to really know who he is?
I was young, but I do know who he is.
Okay, I know he played for the Red Wings for like a season or two, ended up getting injured, and then going back to Dallas and retiring from Dallas. But you know, I know he is originally from there in Michigan. But speaking of hockey, and you played hockey, obviously, because you're from like Southern Canada and shit. But did any of those skills translate to practical shooting at all?
I mean, I would think that a lot of sports bring certain skills that translate to practical shooting. Hockey, I mean, you have to be an athlete to play hockey. There's a lot of things that are going on in a very short amount of time. So if I had to pick a few things that translate to practical shooting, I would probably say being able to adapt like on the fly. Like some things just don't go as planned normally, so you have to like figure it out on the move. And then just balance, overall balance, being able to skate on not even a half inch of blade and go 15 to 20 miles an hour and then stop and go a different direction. You got to have really good balance, I'd say.
Yeah, the explosiveness and also the hand-eye coordination. Like hand-eye coordination in hockey and shooting are two things that I've noticed like correlate with each other. I played hockey too, even though I'm from like North Cuba, which I call Miami, Florida. But you know, I grew up playing as well when I was a young dude. And then in 2013, I started playing again whenever I was stationed at Camp Lejeune. And then it was kind of I always do this to myself. I overburden myself between, you know, I was playing hockey, doing college, shooting three gun. And then I was also a volunteer on the fire department. So I had like four different things going on at the same time. And like, I just had this internal monologue with myself of, I got to pick like one or two things. And so I dropped hockey, I dropped college, I started shooting, and I continued doing the firefighter thing.
And that sounds good. I mean, where is the ice rink in Lejeune? That's no wonder you dropped hockey. Like, you probably had to drive an hour and a half.
It was down in Wilmington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't too far. I mean, I was traveling a shorter distance for hockey than what I was for three gun. I had to drive up to like Raleigh area, like to Woody's range there to shoot three gun. But it's like the hockey game, you know, we'd start pickup games probably around, I don't know, 9 o'clock at night. Like,
yeah.
And then we wouldn't get out of there until 11 o'clock. Then I'd be getting home at, you know, midnight, almost 1 o'clock. So it's like that's a whole Friday night just shot.
Yeah, plus you got the guys you got to play against that think they're in the NHL for some reason as well.
Dude, so that's I forgot to wear a cup one time, and that almost cost me.
I believe it.
And then I wasn't the type of guy that wore a full face shield. I just wore a half shield. And you're not supposed to do slap shots in pickup games. And this asshole did a slap shot, and like the puck literally just went right by my face. I was like, you fucking dick. Like, that's grounds for fighting, like straight up.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But, I mean, we would bring water bottles filled with vodka and just, you know, play and have a good time.
Yeah, that's what beer league is.
Yep. But, all right. So in the past, we've already covered the Security Force Regiment to Marine Corps Shooting Team pipeline before, but from your perspective, what makes Security Forces a continued presence at the Marine Corps Marksmanship Competitions and the Marine Corps Shooting Team?
That's a great question. I'd say like the drive of each individual, like going out on their own time, spending their own money, driving. We would drive 3 hours to a match, like down to Pitt County, Sir Walter, drive up, see the guys at Quantico. We'd go to Fredericksburg. We go to GRB, which is in Short Pump. So just like that drive, like that little bit of taste, like when you go to a Mi'kmaq and you finally learn what competitive shooting is, and that really gets people going. And then obviously we're all really competitive, right? Being in the Marine Corps, everyone mm-hmm. wants to be the best. So in the CQB section, we focus heavily on marksmanship. Like if you can't shoot, then you can't really do any close quarters battle. So the pride of being able to put the rounds exactly where you want, and then finding out that you can sprint and run around like something that you've never seen before and be able to perfect it. And then there's actually, you can get rewarded, or you can actually go join a team and do that for a living, AKA the Marine Corps Shooting Team.
Yeah. How strict, you know, I had guys in my platoons in the past that went through the CQB school, and they were on their special CQB teams or whatever they call them there at the PRP commands. But how strict are the standards there at CQB school?
It varies. I think it depends on the individual, because sometimes when an individual fails something, or like the pistol qual or the rifle qual or a tactics evaluation, they can go on a PRB, and like if they say the right thing, sometimes they get another chance. Mm. But I mean, I'm sure they're still doing it, but the fighting that standard is kind of Marine Corps wide, right?
Yeah.
So there's definitely like a good thing going there. So hopefully we can perfect it, but I mean, it's hard to perfect anything.
Yeah. And you had Dolly come out this past summer, and I mean, he crushed the summer, and he's another one of those Security Forces guys.
Yeah. Funny story about Dolly. The first day when he showed up to CQB, no one knew him. He like just checked in. He like came down to meet the cadre, and we threw him on. We're like, hey, do you want to shoot qual? And he already went through CQB years before because he was in Security Forces. And he's like, yeah, I'll shoot. And cold, no warm up. And he shot 495 out of 500, which is like phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And he came back up to the table to like see what everyone was going to do. And no one said anything to the dude. We just let him. We're like, hey, yeah, you passed. Good job. And he thought that we all just shot 500s all the time. And then he found out later on that he just like destroyed all of us because no one ever shot 495.
So he's just one of those special cases.
Yeah, he's on the spectrum a little bit. So
when's he coming to the team?
Hopefully inside 2 years. He tried to come this after the summer, but the monitor didn't let him.
Okay, how close is he to promotion?
Well, he just picked up staff. So.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because when I first met Dully, he was a sergeant. But yeah, he just picked up staff. That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, he's killing it.
Yeah. You know, talking about coming to the team, you came to the team as a 2022 summer augment. And what did that summer do for you as a competitive shooter?
I think it taught me how to swim. Honestly, because I was shooting with Scott Rader, Josh Cardenas, and then the rest of the dudes that are on the team now. And I mean, I was just every day just trying to keep up. Like, I just felt like I wasn't supposed to be there. Like, the dudes were just so much, like, they're just on a whole nother level. So learning how to shoot my own match and like let myself build by myself instead of like trying to go as fast as them. Because then you just destroy a stage and then nothing goes well. So shooting after Scott Rader, every stage, every match, like, yeah. So I guess I got humbled a lot real quick. Because when Don's, like, I just was talking about security forces and CQB, you, like, learn how to shoot a pistol there and you think CQB qual is, like, the whole thing. And then you go start to shoot with someone else and you learn that you don't know anything.
Yep.
So. It was definitely an adventure.
Humbling, especially with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, even like the guys on the team now, I still feel like they're so much faster. So it's still there a little bit, but I've proved to myself that what I'm doing is working, you know?
Yeah. Do you still reflect back on those times whenever you were a summer augment? And do you still take lessons and apply some of the lessons that Scott and Sam taught you into your training regimen now?
Yeah, I'd say yes. Sam wasn't there when I was there, unfortunately. I got to learn from him from one of the Mi'kmaqs, though. He was phenomenal. But, yeah, I definitely take away what they did, like breaking down the way they set up stages or walk through stages and, like, finding those perfect spots to, like, blend the whole stage together, or at least try your best to do so. So yes, I definitely take away some stuff from them.
Nice.
Yeah. Shooting behind Scott Rader would have that effect on most people. so that was a pretty difficult position that I didn't think about it until you talked to me about it this season.
I should have changed my name.
You should have. Some people do that, man. I have zero. I called someone out on it last QSC. I'm like, don't put a Z before your name. I know what you're trying to do.
Wasn't that Haynes?
No, it was somebody else. I'm not gonna totally see Haynes doing
some shit like that.
I'm not gonna dime him out, but
No. You brought it up, you gotta say it. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
It wasn't Haynes. No. I'm not, honestly, it's just a local shooter who's like a nice guy. I honestly don't know why he does it. I just told him, like, don't do it again.
Well, you could just edit it.
No. Oh, well, I did. I did. Mm-hmm. I was like, look, hey, man, like, I know what your last name is. It's in there. It's your God-given last name. Oh, whatever. But
I'd have told him, don't be a bitch.
Yes. Obviously, officer enlisted ways of communicating. But Jim, you talked about speed, like the speed Rader and some of the other guys, but you're extremely consistent and you freaking nail alphas. So what's your approach to training and matches? Like, we can break it down into sections. I guess, so you guys got nationals, you got two sets of nationals coming up, the handgun nats and you got IPSC nats. But then you got an off season to build up for the next competitive cycle. So talk to us first about like the off season, and then as you're gearing up, and then as you're getting to like the pinnacle events in the season.
I mean, I didn't really have an off season this year, I'd say. because I PCS'd, and then was straight into I went straight to West for the MCMIC and was teaching there. And then we came back championships, and then it was Carry Optics Nationals within a month. So that was fast. But just like working up to matches, like so right now, Virginia State's this weekend. I just changed my grip for my Chungus. So if you don't know, my big palm swell. So now I'm relearning a normal grip again. So that's fun. So right now I'm just keeping it pretty slow and just making sure my index is good. Cause I, like you said, I'm just coming off like a good performance at Area 8. So I don't need to like force anything right now. Just got to stay super consistent and shoot alphas. Cause if you shoot alphas, it's hard to beat someone if they only shoot alphas. So I normally just, like the week prior, I'll speed it up a little bit, try to find out how fast I can go. I kind of think about it like going to the gym. So if you go to the gym and you want to lift, say, I mean, everyone loves bench press. So you're trying to bench 315. You can never, I mean, you can try to like put 315 on the bar and like have four people pick it up for you, but you have to start small and do increments to get to where you want to get. So that's how I go into practice. So I'll find, I have like a favorite drill I do. And I'll speed it up until I start throwing deltas, and then I'll bring it back down. And then I'll just drive that home and make sure my predictive shooting is right where I want it.
Yeah, very well said. So a lot of you guys, like everyone on the pistol team is mechanically talented. Like the fundamentals are there. But when it comes to match performance, is it more of a mechanical issue or is it more of a mental issue with some of the guys who tend to struggle in the larger stages?
Damn. Yeah, that's big. I mean, we could do 4 hours on that. I would say it's more mental. Like I was talking about that competitiveness earlier, all of us are on the Marine Corps shooting team. We're supposed to be like the best shooters in the Marine Corps. Right. So that could get into your head. Right. And then now you're shooting with the best people and we got you at the range and stuff like that. So like, there's always that drive to outbeat each other in practice. So we kind of get lost in that instead of thinking about what we need to be doing prior, like prepping for our practice. So I would say the match performance is probably just mental because everyone on the team's got their own certain really good skill. Like everyone's really good, right? But everyone brings a specific thing to the table at each match. And I think just shooting inside your means instead of like letting that pride get to you and like, oh, I need to go faster because I've seen someone else go faster. So yeah, I would definitely lean it more towards that mental aspect.
Have you found yourself kind of like talking people down or up during this competitive season, just purely based off where they are at mentally in certain competitions?
I kind of try to leave people alone on match day because like that's your time. Practice is over and that's the test. So like if you're either ready or you're not, but before the match starts, I normally go around and give everyone like a fist bump, like, hey, good luck. Let's get it. But after that, I don't like, if you want to like talk and have a conversation, that's fine, but I'm not going to help you. Or like, I might help you with like a stage plan, but I'm not going to get in your head with anything like, hey, you need to slow down or anything like that. I try to stay out of the way of that.
Yeah. I saw one of Dolly's posts and he basically said like, you know, he practiced that scoop draw. And in there he had a quote. He was basically like, you talked to him about what his plan was and he's like, I don't think I'm going to do it. And you're like, dude, you practiced the entire week. Why wouldn't you do it? And he ended up just nailing it.
He definitely came over to me and was like, he's like, I don't know if I should scoop this because like there's the long steel. It's like 30 yards. And I was like, yeah, every day he finished with like 20 scoop draws and doubles into a target at like 10. And this one was literally, he could almost touch it. Yeah. I was like, why? You don't even need to think about it, man.
Yeah. But yeah, people definitely tend to overthink. Like when they get to that competitive level at a major match, there is a tendency to overthink things. Given like this particular competitive season, 2023, what was the most mentally challenging match and why was it Delmarva? I'm kidding. It can be another match, but Delmarva, I mean, we're in the same squad. That sucked. But I'm just interested to hear, like, what was your most mentally challenging match?
It definitely wasn't Delmarva. I love Delmarva because I knew everyone was going to be all up in their fields with the rain. So I ate that up. That's a great question, honestly. Because I try to go to the same mindset for every match, right? But I'm just going to say Nationals would have been the most. That's the first time I ever went. It was 3 days. The ground was horrible. It was like super squishy. That got in my head. Yeah, I would definitely say that one because you had to really stay focused for 3 days.
Yeah, it's difficult. Especially what did you find? I guess was it the day where, because at some point you're going to have to go, like, you're going to have to shoot in the afternoon and then you have to turn around and shoot in the morning. Was that more daunting, or was the swing between, like, shooting in the morning and then shooting in the evening worse?
I think they're both kind of the same, but I guess it's mental, right? So if you let it get to you, then it's going to get to you. But I every morning before we go out, regardless of AM, PM, I'll, like, go to the hotel gym and, like, stretch and, like, regardless. And that just lets me get in that proper mindset. So, yeah, I might be a little tired or whatever, but I think it's pretty much the same as long as you stay focused.
Yeah, and you have consistent rituals, which I think is really good. But yeah, you your last performance, you know, Area 8, both you and Peyton shot really great matches. What's next for you? You got some big matches coming up, but, you know, I'd say the immediate, what's next, like, immediately? What's next in terms of, like, what you want to accomplish during your time on the team?
I mean, the goal is to be a GM, right? That's, I mean, it should be the goal. If it's not, then I don't know what to say. So that's going to be the move. I'm going to start training for the IPSC. So Virginia State's going to be treated as such. A new grip, as I stated. So that'll be fun to see. But yeah, just literally just trying to get faster. So making sure the index is perfect all the time. So turning the dot off a few times when you're shooting during practice, and then turn it back on just to make sure everything feels good, and just literally get faster. Like, just like you brought up Peyton, the dude is, his special talent on the team is his speed.
Yeah.
He splits fast. He runs fast. He's got good balance. Even when he's not balanced, he's still shooting fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible. So when he's shooting, I always, like, try to imagine my speed being that. But my brain just doesn't work that fast yet. So I'm going to get faster and then hopefully get GM.
Yeah, I think you'll get there. The teams, it's going. So you mentioned learning from Raider. But, you know, things happen in generations. I would say, like, you know, Matt, you guys started the USPSA team. Mm-hmm. And the generation of, like, you, Scott Raider, and Chris Scott, like, those guys, really great shooters. And then now, I guess, the next generation stepping up. You got multiple shooters on the team that just hit M class. So which of you is going to make GM first? Echoing my initial question to you. Jim?
I thought you were talking to Matt. My bad. Honestly, it's going to be Peyton. I'd say that's safe. That's a really safe bet. I mean, the dude's over 90% already. He just went international. He's probably going to finish over 90% at the IPSC match. Like, I mean, unless something magical happens, I don't really see myself getting GM before him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been really exciting watching your all's growth. And I think that the team right now is really starting to develop talent and do great things. At this time, yeah, we've talked about a lot, but is there anything else that you'd like to leave the audience with?
No, I mean, the biggest thing that you can do when you're shooting any sort of competitive shooting is just have that good mental attitude going into it and just don't outshoot yourself.
Yeah, great advice. Anything else, Matt?
Nope.
Cool. Well, Jim, we appreciate your time, man. I think it was really, really great to hear some insight into your time as a summer augment and also as a permanent member of the shooting team. To our listeners, let us know how we're doing. Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform. That feedback is really helpful for us, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks, guys.